It is the year 2002, the 877th day since the moon left Earth's orbit and began its epic journey into the great void of intergalactic space. Astronaut Tony Bellini lies unconscious in the medical center, attended by Dr. Helena Russell, as Commander Koenig enters.
How is he?
As well as can be expected after a point-blank stun from your laser gun.
It was the only way I could keep him from taking off in the Eagle. I can't imagine what got into him.
I've been expecting something like this ever since he returned from the Ultra Probe.
You didn't know him before the Ultra Probe was launched. He was probably the world's top athlete, a highly talented poet, and perhaps the best astronaut ever to leave Earth.
Your image of him isn't the man I know. He's unstable, John, a suppressed hysteric, subject to recurring nightmares and hallucinations. Where was he trying to go here in the middle of nowhere, and in his pajamas? We're 3 months Eagle traveling time to the nearest star system.
I don't know what was in his mind, but I do know that something happened out there beyond Ultra. Something neither you nor I can understand. It's haunting him, destroying him.
After all this time, you don't still believe that story of his about a monster?
I don't know what to believe, but look at the facts. The Ultra Probe ship was launched from Moon Base Alpha 5 years ago, June 6th, 1996, with Captain Tony Bellini and a crew of three. Astrophysicist Darwin King, radiation expert Juliet Mackey.
And Dr. Olga Vishenskaya in charge of medical.
8 months after takeoff, they reach their objective, the newly discovered planet Ultra, and start preparations for a manned landing.
But as the probe ship moves behind Ultra, all contact with Moon Base Alpha is lost. And the only report of what happened then is the one given by Tony himself.
And our preparations for a manned landing were almost complete when suddenly...
Captain Bellini, contacts on the radar screen.
Phew, must be 20, 30 of them, small and stationary.
Probably metallic.
Computers, beam scanners, sensors, everything we've got. Focus in. I'm changing course. We're going to take a look.
Captain, out the window, look.
Spaceships, over 20 of them.
All different sizes and shapes, just hanging there, drifting aimlessly.
Obviously from a wide variety of space civilizations. There are ships here that could make the dream of interstellar travel a reality. We could be liberated from our own solar system, even from our own galaxy.
Look at that one, Captain.
It's huge.
Looks like a proton drive dish at the far end. Any signs of life?
No, sir.
There's got to be someone in it. King, check with computer. Mackie, put the boost on every band in the life spectrum. Still nothing?
Absolutely no signs. It's like a graveyard.
Well, the tombs of the pharaohs taught us all we know about ancient Egypt. So let's open this one up and see what we can learn. Into your spacesuits, everyone. We're going to hook up to that airlock, walk in, and take a look around. Nothing unusual here. Typical entry corridor. That door ahead looks like it could lead to the main module. Should be a flaming orifice, like an open fiery furnace.
One of the tentacles! He's got me!
It's dragging him into that file! Oh! Captain, for God's sake, close the door!
I can't close it, it's jammed! Good Lord, it's got Mackie! And Vishenskaya, they're all gone! And now, one of the tentacles reaching for me!
After an incredible six-month voyage, Bellini made it back to Alpha, alone, more dead than alive.
The story he told of his encounter with the monster was difficult to believe even then, and the recorded data of the black box cast further doubt on his veracity.
Veracity. I'll never forget the way Commissioner Dixon ripped him apart at the hearing held on Earth when Tony was well enough to attend. Victor and Tony and I just sat there while
and
Dixon...
And you want us to believe that you, Captain Bellini, went into the jungle beyond Ultra, stood face to face with the dragon, and managed to survive, even though all three of your crew were destroyed by it?
That is exactly what happened.
Well, to put it bluntly, Captain, I think you concocted the whole story to cover up the fact that you bungled the decompression procedure, prematurely opened the airlock, and killed the crew, and you haven't the guts to admit it.
But the blips on the black box, they prove his story about the spaceships.
They prove only that they were contacts, not that they were spaceships. Gentlemen, the conclusion of this commission is that the Ultra Probe was a total failure, and that you, Captain Bellini, were delinquent in the execution of your duties. Regretfully, I must relieve you of your post. This hearing is closed.
So Tony was assigned to an unimportant desk job on Alpha, where he has been ever since, which brings us up to the here and now. What does it all prove, John?
Maybe nothing. But why? Why does he break now? It's over 5 years since Ultra.
I think it proves that he'll never get over it. That's why I thought Alpha would be better off without him.
Perhaps she's right, John.
Tony, are you all right?
Yes, I'm fine.
Tell me, where were you trying to get to? There's nowhere to go. Nothing for billions of miles.
I felt there was something out there.
You had a nightmare at 0347 last night. Medical computer raised the alarm. I woke you.
Yes, that's it. Just a dream. A bad dream, I guess. Commander, main mission here. We have a contact on the big screen.
Be with you in a minute.
Ah, John, something quite extraordinary.
Spaceships. Derelicts. About 20, maybe more.
According to our calculations, Commander, there should have been nothing around here.
The same kind of thing reported by Bellini on his mission to the planet Ultra.
Yes, and last night he had a violent nightmare about his monster. He said he was going out to face it.
The monster?
Those could be the same ships he saw behind Ultra.
But we're billions of miles away from Ultra.
Our moon has moved, Victor, and those ships could have drifted too. Something triggered Bellini's nightmare, and... Sandra, increase magnification.
Yes, sir. Commander, look.
The Ultra Probe ship.
Incredible.
So was Bellini's story of the monster. Carter, get an Eagle on pad one and an escort of three others. Ready for action.
Yes, sir.
And Paul, I want backup ships and crews ready for... Tony, Helena, I was about to call you. Look at the big screen.
The Ultra Probe ship.
So I get a second chance. Any signs of life, Paul? We scanned the whole area, Captain. There's nothing. There never was.
I'm taking an Eagle up with an armed escort of three others. Carter is getting it ready. Would you be willing to come with me?
Willing? I'd insist.
Well, here we are. Helena, Victor, you and the security guards will stay here in the passenger module and monitor the...
Will you excuse me a minute, John? I'd like to go up front and apologize to Carter for hitting him last night during my nightmare.
I don't trust him, John. He's too calm.
He has the chance to clear himself after 5 years. He's not going to blow it.
I still don't like it.
Oh, it's Carter. Bellini slugged him again like he did last night when we tried to steal the Eagle.
Tony, for heaven's sake.
Sorry, John, but it's my enemy, and I deserve first crack. I'm taking Eagle One. Sorry about Carter.
Stop him, John.
This time he made it.
He's separating the command module and leaving us here in the passenger module.
Eagles 3 and 4, immediate liftoff. Tail Bellini, he's in Eagle 1. Eagle 2, jettison module and move to pad 1 to pick us up.
A little while later, Carter, fully recovered, is at the controls of Eagle 2 as they approach the lifeless Ultra Probe ship, still attached to the huge alien derelict ship.
Eagle 3 to Eagle 2, Bellini is lined up with the airlock on the probe ship. He's made it. A perfect docking.
Okay. Eagle 3, stand by. Alan, line up for a docking on the main module. Helena, any life signs?
Nothing. Wait. Something.
An alien life form?
No. Just Bellini. If there were anything else, John, like that monster, we'd surely get some indication.
Provided our instruments could read it.
Ready to dock, Commander.
Okay, Alan. Easy now. Perfect. Helena. Still no life signs?
Only Bellini's.
All right. Laser's ready. Here we go. Into the airlock. That door ahead opens into the main module. Carter, you and I go in first. Let's go.
Good Lord! The monster! Hey, look there, Bellini!
Standing on the monster's head. He's got an axe!
Look out for the tentacles!
He's bringing the axe down on the monster's head. Oh, he really hurt him. Tony, look out!
Go back, Commander! He's mine! This time I...
He's falling. Tony!
The monster! It's got him!
Oh, Lord. Fire all lasers.
They don't seem to have any effect.
Keep firing. I'm going to get that axe.
Moving between the flailing tentacles, Koenig works his way close to the monster's head, picks up the axe, and with every bit of strength he can muster, drives it into the creature's head.
You caught him!
Yeah, but what a price to pay.
Later, on the way back to Alpha...
Poor Tony. He was right all along. Why couldn't I have believed him?
The monster was more than any of us could believe. According to our criteria, it was never alive.
How ironic that a creature so impervious to our contemporary weapons should fall victim to a plain, old-fashioned axe.
Well, I think Tony would be happy to know, at least, that future space travelers will never again be trapped in the Dragon's Domain.